We'll be looking at two verses as our text verses, but keep your place there because we'll be referring to a number of verses as we go along. We've been preaching a series of messages on heaven. Today we want to talk about the heavenly city. The heavenly city. You know, if you're going to go to heaven, you ought to know a little bit about it. Amen? There are a lot of people who don't know much about heaven, honestly. A lot of Christians don't know very much about heaven. But it is a literal city. The New Jerusalem is what we're talking about. It is a real city, and I guess we could call it the capital of heaven, because it comes out of heaven. I've traveled quite a bit. I've had the privilege of traveling quite a bit, and I thank God for that. A lot of it missions trips, whatever. But I've been all over the world, so many different places, and I've seen some lovely cities. I've seen some that were big, were not too lovely. But I've been to Paris, Rome, and Cairo, Egypt, Manila, that's quite a city, Tokyo, London, Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, Mexico City, and some others. But these cities will not compare, and in no way compare, with what the New Jerusalem is going to be like. I've seen some beautiful things, but none are going to compare with the New Jerusalem. It is a real city, and it is mentioned some 12 times in Revelation chapters 21 and 22, the New Jerusalem. So look at Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Sea is a symbol of trouble. And I, John is on the Isle of Patmos, and what God revealed to him, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So as we look at this, we're looking at a city. It is not the same as heaven. Notice what he says. He says in verse 2 that it came out of heaven, coming down from God out of heaven. It's not the same as heaven, but it's a real, literal city that comes out of what we call the third heaven, or as we would know, heaven. Revelation 3:12 says, Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I'll write upon him my new name. He says it comes out of heaven. It will come down out of heaven, the New Jerusalem. During the millennial reign, I believe that this New Jerusalem will hover over the earth. It'll be there in the air over the earth. But after the millennium, I believe that it will rest on the earth. It'll actually rest on the earth. And that earth will be a renovated earth. Thank God it'll be made over. It'll be renovated. But this New Jerusalem will be the focal point of our life during eternity. And I believe it will be in those places at those two different times. Now let's look at the dimensions of this city. What a city it is. Well, what size city is it? What are the dimensions of the city? Look at verses 15 and 16 of chapter 21. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth of the height of it are equal. So here he gives us the dimensions of the city. We wonder sometimes, how will God get all of the believers of all ages in that city? Is it big enough to accommodate all of the believers of all ages in that city, specifically talking about the New Jerusalem? The New Jerusalem is a cube. If you'll think of a cube, that's what the New Jerusalem will be. Some try to make it a pyramid, but I don't think there's any merit whatsoever for that in the Scripture. It's a cube, as it is described here, and it is some 2 million square miles of land area. 2 million square miles of land area, as it is described here by these dimensions. It is 10 times larger than Germany, 10 times larger than France, 40 times larger than England, and besides that, it's no problem for God to make it as big as He wants it to be. God can do that. It is a cube, and many believe that there will be floors in that cubical city, the city called the New Jerusalem. Somebody calculated that it would have somewhere around 600 floors, some 600 floors. Each floor would be that 2 million square miles. So when you multiply all of that, you come up with 1.2 billion square miles of living area. That's pretty big. So it'll be big enough to accommodate all that God wants to accommodate, and all that have been saved will be in that city. Now, how are we going to get around in that city if it's a cube? No problem. God has given us a glorified body at that point, and you don't have any problem getting around anywhere in that glorified city, are going from the earth to the city and the city to the earth when it's suspended over it, because with the ability to think just that quickly, we can travel and be somewhere else. You say, well, I don't understand those dimensions. Well, you're not in heaven yet, so don't try to totally figure it all out. But the Bible tells us that we'll be able to do that. We're not going to be restricted in that city whatsoever. There'll be no physical barriers to us. We will have a body like that of Jesus Christ, and as I've said to you in the past, Jesus walked right through the door, sat right down, ate fish and honey. He had that glorified body, and we'll have a body like that. No physical barriers. And so it's a large city and a real city. And then the description of the city, this literal city, and some people say, well, I just can't believe it. I believe it's, it's a myth, or it's something that just is typical, but it really doesn't exist. And let me tell you something. I believe what the Bible says. It is a literal city. If you believe the Word, you have no problem believing that. We don't have any problem believing that God created the heavens and the earth. So there's no problem for God to create this literal city. Now, we notice one thing about it. It's a holy city. It is a holy city. Back in verse 2, chapter 21, verse 2, John saw the holy city. That's important. It is a holy city. I wish I could say that about Fort Worth, but can't. Surely can't say it about Dallas, can we? But this will be a holy city. What do you mean? Well, there won't be any sin in it, amen? There'll be no murder, there'll be no rape, there'll be no incest, there'll be no shady deals. There will be no sin in the holy city. It's a holy city. God will not allow it there. And it will never, never be allowed, no sin will ever be allowed to enter that city eternally, forever and ever. There will be no sin in this holy city, a holy city. But here's the thing, only those who've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb will get in that holy city. You cannot, as a sinner, enter that holy city. You have to be saved, you have to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. It's a holy city, and it has pearly gates. Look at verse 12, chapter 21, in verse 12. And it had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Drop down to verse 17 and 18. And he measured the wall thereof, 140 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, beautiful pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. not translucent, but transparent glass. And so here we have a description of the pearly gates. And there's a lot of folklore out there about the pearly gates and talking about it and all of that. But these are literal gates of pearl. And on those gates of pearl are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. All of the different tribes of Israel are on those gates. And when he describes the city, he talks about this magnificent city. And I believe that it will glimmer in these pearls like a sparkling jewel. And the gold that he mentioned in a couple of those verses are going to be beautiful streets of gold. And all of this is going to be something that will glimmer and glisten and be magnificently beautiful like we have never seen things just like it before. What a gorgeous city it's going to be. The pearls, I think, should remind us of Jesus Christ. Do you know what a pearl is? The pearl is a result of a wounded oyster. And so that little grain gets in there and cuts it, and it is wounded, and it secretes and secretes and secretes until it makes a pearl. Does that remind you of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ suffered, didn't he? In order for the pearl of great price, in order for you and I to be saved. And every time we see those gates in this glorious New Jerusalem, I think we'll think of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he talks about the foundations of precious stones. Wow, what a foundation. What foundations. Verses 19 and 20. Chapter 21, and the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire. Ladies, I bet you'll like this place. The third, chalcedony. The fourth, an emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. And the eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysoprasus. The 11th, jacinth. And the 12th, an amethyst. Wow, that's nice, isn't it? The foundations of the city are going to be made out of these precious stones. Beautiful, beautiful precious stones. And the streets are going to be streets of gold. All of this, the 12 layers, the 12 foundations, the 12 precious stones. And again, I believe if you could see that, how gorgeous and magnificent it would be, the beauty shimmering there in the heavens before all to see. Will there be streets of gold? Verse 18 says, and the building of the wall of it was jasper. The city was pure gold. And the streets are of pure gold. What a marvelous place this is going to be. These 12-layer foundation, 12 precious stones, and all of that, the pure gold. Not only that, it's transparent as glass. In other words, somehow this gold is so pure that we can see through it. It may be because we have glorified eyes. I don't know. But I don't care whether it's that or what it is, it's going to be pure gold, my friend. It's going to be gorgeous, and it's going to be magnificent and beautiful. All of this is going to be there, and we're going to see it the same way John saw it when God allowed him to see this new Jerusalem, the same way. And then here's something interesting, and that is the Lamb is the light. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 of chapter 21. The Bible says, having the glory of God. We don't know much about the glory of God like we should today. But having the glory of God in her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Talking about the glory of God. In verse 23 says, in this same chapter, and the city had no need of the sun. Can you imagine that? No need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God will be the light, the luminiferous light of that city. There won't be any street lights, you won't need them. There won't be any other kind of lighting there. You will not need it. Why? God's glory illuminates that city. Imagine approaching that beautiful city, the city of God, the city of gold, all of that, and it being illuminated by that light coming from within. And imagine approaching that city of God in the pearls and the precious stones and the light and the glory emanating from all of that, the glory of God, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder Paul said to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 2:9, he said, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear hath heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him," for the saved folks. Some people say, "Well, you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good." I think we need more heavenly minded people. Because if we would set our affection on heaven and how beautiful and marvelous it's going to be, and we'd talk about it more, I believe we'd do more good. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place, and we should tell other people to get ready to go to heaven, how to go to heaven, and we should want them to go to heaven and be thinking about heaven. We're not apt to be so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. That's not going to happen with a bunch of Baptists, probably. And then the tree of life. There's the tree of life there. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 2. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. It's the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Wow, it's getting better and better as we think about it. I believe there's a river that runs down through the middle of that New Jerusalem, that great city. The river runs down, and on either side, the Bible describes it as having the tree of life. In the original, it says the trees, plural, of life. The trees of life running by the river of life. 12 different kinds of trees of life, 12 trees of life, 12 different kinds of fruit that are on those trees that is produced. And each tree produces every month. I believe this tree, these trees are going to be like the tree that was in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden was the tree of life. There was the tree of the knowledge of right and wrong, but there was the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. Hey, we're going to be able to eat from that, these trees freely. And there'll be no repercussions from it. We can eat all we want and have no negative results. That'll be a great meal, won't it, when we eat all we want and there are no negative results. It'll all be good. It will not affect your health. And we'll have redeemed appetites when we're there in New Jerusalem. And we'll eat that. And that'll be something that'll be blessed, a blessing to us. The leaves are for the healing of the nation. The Greek word is therapeutic. We would interpret that word as therapeutic. And what he's saying is going to be good. There'll be no diseases. We'll be totally fulfilled. We're never totally fulfilled down here, seemingly, but we will be there, totally fulfilled. It's a wonderful place. There will be pleasure all the time. There will be joy forevermore. There will not be any sadness, no heartaches. Why? We will be in God's presence. We'll be in the presence of the glory of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about that river of life. Chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. Look at that. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. Here's that river that it talks about that is flowing, flowing. And thank God it is there. It reminds us of Jesus Christ, the living water. And he says, "There's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, a holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High." And you can have living waters right now. These will be living waters. I thank God I have the living waters in me today. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. It flows from the heart of every believer. The book of John 7:38 says, "He that believeth on me," got saved, trusted me, "believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, out of his heart, out of his emotions," that's what he's talking about, "shall flow rivers of living water." If you're saved today, you ought to have that, the rivers of living water in your life. Rivers of living water. Now, the New Jerusalem is absolutely impossible for us to totally comprehend. I cannot totally comprehend it. I can only describe what I've read here. And in my own mind, try to picture all of that. But I cannot totally comprehend it. It's impossible, but I do know this. It is the future home of certain people. Who are those people? The saved. It's the future home of all the little babies that died and little children before they came to the age of accountability. You don't have to worry about where the little babies went. They are little babies that went to heaven, and they're going to be part of this new Jerusalem. It is a place for those who don't necessarily have the mental capacity to believe, that are incapable of believing. They're going to be there in their glorified bodies. It's a wonderful future home. It's a cube city that will hold millions upon millions. And there's a glory there that will bring satisfaction that is so beyond this earth that you cannot imagine. It will be beautiful. It will be radiant. It will be sinless. There will be nothing in any way that can hurt that city or destroy that city. Dr. David Jeremiah, in his book, Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven, talks about he and his wife being on a trip to the Greek islands. And he describes an island city in Greece in that area called Santorini. And this is a very unique island and a very unique city that is there on the top of this what used to be a volcano, a dormant volcano, an ancient volcano. And as you approach it, there are the high cliffs on three sides. I mean, tremendously high cliffs, hundreds of feet. And you're coming in a boat and you see that city upon those cliffs, upon the very top of it. All of the buildings and all of the shops are white. They're all white. And so when you're riding along there in the ship and you come to Santorini and you see it from a distance, that city looks like it's suspended, just suspended. You don't even realize that it's on top of that particular place, that old volcano. You can get it, by the way, in Google. You can get anything in Google nowadays. So Google it and look at it. It's beautiful. I Googled it and looked at it, and it's a marvelous facility. And he made the statement to his wife something like this. He said, you know, I know that's beautiful, but it will not hold a light to the new Jerusalem. I may get to go see that city someday. I don't know. I'd like to see it, but probably it'll just be Googling it. But I want to tell you, I'm not going to have to just Google heaven, because thank God I'm saved by the grace of God, the Lamb of God, the blood of Christ has washed my sins away, and I'm going to go there. You cannot compare anything with the new Jerusalem. And here's the third thing I want to mention about it, and that is the denial to that city. The denial to that city. Did you know that everybody will not have access to that city? Everybody will not get to see it. Everybody will not get to go there. I'm going there because I've been born again. Revelation 21:8, the Bible says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's not the new Jerusalem. It's a horrible, terrible place called hell. In Revelation 21:27, look at that verse. And there shall in no wise enter into it, the new Jerusalem, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but, here it is, they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life are going to go to heaven. Going to go to the new Jerusalem, get to see it. Somebody says, well, if I've done all of these things, if I've been a whoremonger, a sorcerer, or idolater, or I've sinned and I've done all of that, then there's no hope for me. I can't get in. Oh, yes, you can. You can get in. It's just those who will not repent of those things that will not get in. It's those who reject Jesus, those who say no to the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the non-repentant cannot be saved. Only the Christ rejecters cannot be saved. If you're willing to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, thank God He'll wash away all of your sins and forgive you all of your sins, past, present, and future. Forgiven, 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 forgiven. God specializes in saving sinners. because we're all sinners. God will save you. And then there's our calling as Christians. We have a calling. What is that? Go tell other people about New Jerusalem. Go tell them how to get there. Go tell them that they're sinners and they need to be saved. And the only way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors of Christ. You say, I'm not an ambassador of Christ. If you're saved, you're an ambassador of Christ. You may not know it. You may not like it. But if you're saved, you're an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to go tell other people about the New Jerusalem. Get the message out. Have a broken heart. Want to see people saved. Some people are not going to go there, and that ought to bother us. It ought to make us want to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we tell them, they hear, and they reject, we're not responsible. We've done our part. We've done our best. But friend, we are accountable. We are accountable to get the gospel out. And we will stand before God and give an account of whether or not we witnessed and told others about Christ and how to get to the New Jerusalem and about this beautiful eternal place where we shall abide with Jesus Christ. Question for you today. Have you made reservations for the New Jerusalem? Have you made reservations for the New Jerusalem? Are you sure you have? If not, make them today. Because, my friend, if you wait till that city appears, it's too late. Totally, eternally too late. Now is the time to be saved. And by God's grace, let's live like we're citizens of the New Jerusalem and tell others about it and witness and live a life that will back up our witness so that people will listen to us and we can tell them how to go to heaven, how to go to this New Jerusalem. What a wonderful place it's going to be. Does it sound good to you? Say amen if it does. Amen. Sounds good to me. Nothing like it anywhere on earth. Let's stand. Dear God, I pray that unsaved people would come to Christ today. There's some unsaved people, no doubt, in this building. And Lord, I've tried to tell them that your Son died for them and paid their sin debt. And all they have to do is believe that, confess you, come to you and be saved. And I pray that today would be that day. Then God help us as believers to understand that we have a calling to tell others about Christ and that we need to live a holy life. It's a holy city. We need to live a holy life so that others will believe what we're telling them about the holy city. And whatever we need to do in our own lives as Christians today, to get rid of apathy, to get rid of lukewarmness, to get rid of sins that may be in our lives, we might be effective for you, to have a better prayer life, spend more time in the Word of God. We might have the courage to speak up for you. God, help us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. While we sing, would you come, trust Christ as your Savior? Come as a believer and rededicate your life if there's a need. Would you do it? While we sing, come. Lord.